Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
How's everyone doing? Good. How many of you, summer's over? I think so. Some of you are happy. We've had a few weeks here at the church, a few months. 2018 was like the hottest summer ever. It's like every Sunday, it's going to be 47 degrees and people are going to melt at church. But we're excited that you're here. And the fall for us as a church is really the beginning kind of a fresh season a little bit. Some people come back from vacation. Maybe some of you are reconnecting with church and we're so happy you're here. And last week or a few weeks ago, we started a series that really would help us think about an important topic of what it means that God is inviting us to realize that He's calling us to draw closer to Him. And I know a lot of people who don't believe that at all. There's some people who don't believe in God. They don't believe that God speaks to us. And so I want to begin this morning by asking you like a very simple question. I want you to think about a time in your life. You think of this. I want you to think of the last time you got an invitation somewhere to a place you didn't want to go to. Okay, just think of that. Just remember, it's probably the last time you lied. Some of you are like, okay, he's going to get serious right away. Okay, think of the last time you got an invitation to go somewhere and you're like, I don't really want to go, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And you were kind of stuck. You're like, I got to respond if I don't say. So you're already like, I'm not sure what to do. It was very easy that how you responded to that invitation was really based on who invited you, right? Like if it was someone that wasn't that important and like they were annoying or you're like, I don't like them being around, all that. You just came up with a reason. Maybe you had a good excuse. You had to work. You were tired. Your back was hurting. Or maybe for some of you, you felt it was okay even to lie, although lying is bad. We ask for forgiveness later, okay? It's fine. I'm just saying. But it would change everything if somebody who invited you was someone very, very special. Like if you in the mail got an invitation this week from the prime minister, for you and your family to go to Ottawa to meet the prime minister because they have to solve a problem and you're the person who's going to help them, how many of you would kind of change your schedule to go? How many of you say, yeah, I think I'm going to try to go. It's going to be important. I'm going to get big after this. How many of you start to tweet about it? You start to tell people, I'm going, the prime, they need me. Sorry, I gotta go. I'm not going to be here next Sunday. They need me in Ottawa, right? An invitation really is connected to who's inviting who. And that changes everything in our lives. See, what's amazing about the Bible is the Bible is constantly reminding us that God is inviting us to be part of a family of which He's using to change the world. And many people in their lives, I find this happens in my life, depending on what's going on in my life, sometimes I either can miss those invitations when God is drawing me closer, I can be overwhelmed with busy stuff so I don't hear God, or for many people that I meet, they don't even know how to hear God speaking to them. Many people, the biggest struggle I think people feel in life is like, how do I know if it's God speaking to me or if it's someone just making it up? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just going crazy. This morning, I want to introduce you to a person who has to wrestle with what it means when God speaks to him. And it's two people I want to introduce you to who are really, really important in the Bible. It's one of those special parts of the New Testament that I love, which is the beginning of the church. But before I do that, I want to remind you of something I shared with you a few weeks ago, that as part of this series, which is called Coming Home, we encouraged you to think about talking to someone that you don't know and say to them, anyone remember what I encouraged you to say to them? Come over. Not even come on over. We thought about that in staff meeting, but we thought people would be too clunky. Not come on over, just come over, right? And I encourage some of you to just be like, you know, maybe this is the season that you meet somebody or invite somebody into your home for a coffee, that you would connect with somebody that you don't know. And so there's a prayer that I've been praying for my life, and I've been thinking about this, and I just have it on the screen. You can go to the next slide. This is the prayer. Maybe you need this prayer for you. God, teach me to make room in my schedule so that I can connect and encourage others. Such a simple prayer. Some of you like don't know how to pray. You're new to church. You're like, praying is weird. I'm not sure. This is a very simple prayer that you can use this week and say, God, I need help to make sense of my schedule, because sometimes the things that I should be doing, I can't do because I'm overwhelmed with stuff that doesn't matter. And in the Bible, constantly, God is inviting us to make room for others, not to find room. Nobody finds room, by the way. We make room. All of us make room for what's important. All of us have a way of making space for things that matter to us. And in the Bible, we're constantly invited by God to revisit those expectations, to revisit kind of the schedule of our lives, and to just say, am I making room for the right kinds of things? Am I making space for the right kinds of connections in my life? For some of you, maybe this season is going to be the first time you meet someone who's going to say, hey, this is amazing that God kind of brought us together, connected us through church. I'm going to be praying for you. Or can you be praying for me? Or man, our kids have connected, and so man, this is going to be great. Our kids kind of are getting to know each other, and that's a great thing. So one of the things I want to encourage you to do, if you haven't done it yet, this week, would you just stop and say, God, is there anyone that I need to just invite to come over? And I know I mentioned this already. For some of you, like, that means I have to clean my house. That means, oh my goodness, it's madness at my house. What am I going to do? Just forget about all that. Just say, come over, and tell the person, if you come over, there's Legos everywhere. Like, if you come to my house, it's almost you need an insurance form before you walk in my house, because there's toys and Legos and balls. If you fall, we're not helping you in my house. It's just gangbusters. It's crazy, right? But it's okay. It's just like, just come over. This morning, I want to talk to you about a person who really struggles with this issue. They're in the Bible, and we're told about a person that God is going to encourage them to see life from a new perspective. And we're introduced to a person that's a very different kind of person. The Bible calls him Cornelius. Cornelius is a man who's a leader in the Bible times, and for the first time in his life, he's going to hear, for the first time in a fresh way, that God is trying to speak to him. That God has something special to tell him. And he's not sure if it's God or how it's going to work, and this is what we're told. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, it's a beautiful story. I'm going to walk you through it, and if you have time this week, you can read it. It says this, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. You know, we're given an introduction of this gentleman. His name is Cornelius. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's really, really important to understand a few things about Cornelius. One is, we know he's in the military. And in the Bible times, to be involved in the military meant to be, your life was weaved in and out of a lot of complicated religious things that were part of the culture of the Roman Empire. I mean, one of the things we know, that there's specific religions that people who are in the military actually had to participate in. So we know that Cornelius is kind of what I would call today a spiritual person. Do you know anybody like that? They're like, I'm not into religion, I'm not really into church, I'm into spiritual things. I'm into spirituality. I know a lot of people like that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, that's me. I'm into spirituality. And he does what seems to be the good stuff. He prays, he's trying to pray to like God. He's giving to the poor, he's trying to give generously. Him and his family are devoting the right thing, and we know something else about him. He's a leader. He's a person of influence. A centurion in the Bible time would probably, kind of, if you're a business manager, oversee about 80 to 100 people would report to him in this role. So, I mean, we're not just dealing with anybody. We're dealing with someone who's a significant leader, and we're told in this moment that he has this vision. Now, I want to just highlight something really, really important, that for me, Cornelius represents almost 99% of people I meet in the world today. People who are trying to do good things, they're trying to be positive, they're trying to help others, and if they can, they're even going to try to pray. They don't even know how to pray. They're just going to try. And the Bible tells us that something happens to Cornelius that reminds him that although he's doing all kinds of things that seem good to do, God wants to speak to him about something else. God wants to awaken in him something that's missing. That's very hard for us to understand. Because in our world, we think if you're kind of a leader, and if you have influence at work, and if you're kind of significant enough that you have a family and you have maybe money, and you're helping people because you're generous enough, that's like a good life. You know what our culture calls that? Good karma. Good things out, good things back. Bad things out, bad things back. I hear this so many times. I'll talk to people, I'm like, hey, you know, I work at a church, I'm connected to a community of faith, and they're like, no, I'm not into religion. I'm not into, like, they feel like I might invite them to church. So I'm like, hey, no worries, no problem. It's cool, you might like it if you come. But they're like, I'm not into that. I'm more into, like, you put good out in the world, and good comes back. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And I often tell people, that's an interesting idea. It's actually in the Bible, but it's just not enough about the kind of life that God calls us to. It's not a bad thing. You don't want anybody who says, I want to do a good thing, say, no, put bad things out there. You don't want to say that. But the Bible invites us to look at the life of Cornelius to say, maybe that's not enough. Maybe that's not enough. And in the 3 p.m, I don't know what you do at 3 p.m. I'm usually like chasing my kids, having a meeting, in traffic. How many of you in traffic? Hate my life, Quebec, all right? Cornelius is like, he's in this vision moment. He has this vision. This is what it says. An angel comes to him and says to him, God has realized what's going on in your life. And it says this, now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Very simple. Maybe some of you see it already. God says, send 2 people that you have, 2 or 3 people. Translations can be iffy on this one. But send some people and ask for Peter to do what? To come over. Call for Peter to come over. Just send some people to him and tell him to come over. And what we're told is this angel who's speaking to him in this vision is trying to tell him that God is trying to speak to him in some way. He's like, this is amazing. I mean, maybe he's been praying for this. Maybe he's been calling on God for some direction. In the ancient world, it was very common to pray to all of the gods. The Romans loved all of the ancient gods. You just needed a bit of each of them just in case one of them was real. That's how it worked. You just like, you sacrifice here, sacrifice there. That's why we have sections in the Bible that say that people are worshiping at an altar of a god who has no name. That's why we're told this. When you go to the altar of an unknown God, it's a way of saying, I don't want to get the right God angry. It's just like, let's not put a name here and maybe the gods in their mercy will think this is a good thing. Cornelius is called a God-fearer in the Bible. And in this moment, an angel comes to him in this vision and says, God has seen what you do. God has seen you be generous to the poor. God has seen you trying to connect. God has seen this. And it's amazing. I often, whenever I read this, I'm always reminded of how easy it is for us to believe that God doesn't see what we do. I meet people who like, what I do is what I do. Like, whatever, it's nobody's business. I'm like, it's not anybody's business, but do you believe that God sees what you do? Some of you sacrificed over the summer to give to our fundraiser so that we could be here long term. God saw what you did. God saw it. God saw that you had a conversation and wanting to be generous and wanting to give back and wanting to care. God saw that. He paid attention to that. He was aware of that. And Cornelius, for the first time, is like, maybe I'm just going crazy. It's 3 p.m. Like, maybe he like, smoked something weird. He ate something weird. It was hot. He was having a heat stroke. He wakes up and he realizes, like, if that was real, I got to take 2 people, men that I have, and I got to send them to go find this guy, Peter. And what's really, really important is Cornelius is going to have to learn whether this vision is really from God. You know, I meet people all the time. I don't know if you know about this. Being a pastor is a unique job. If some of you ever feel the calling of being a pastor, you can always use another. Just saying. But oftentimes I meet with people, and this summer I had an interesting conversation with a person at a camp. I was speaking at a camp, and this person wanted to speak to me. And at the end, they had, I got to tell you something, pastor. It's really important. I'm like, yeah, no problem. You know, can we pray, whatever. They're like, this person, to protect their identity, said, I had a vision, and I think it's from God. So I said, okay. So I said, let me just, before you tell me your vision, are you okay that after you tell me your vision, if I tell you, it's not from God? They're like, well, no, it is. It is from God. I'm like, okay, so tell me. So they start telling me. And as they go through it, like, I could tell that what they're saying is not from God. Do you know how I know? I'll tell you a very simple secret that you can use for the rest of your life. Because it contradicts other places in the Bible. Like, if somebody says, God told me I should cheat on my wife, you would say, really? Wow. And it's so great to say God told me because you really can't tell me anything bad. Like, the only way you could really know whether it's from God is to say, wait a second. God doesn't usually contradict what he's already said in the scriptures in some way. Now, it could be like something mysterious or different, but you really have to hold it together. The other rule that I've often used is if I do what this vision says, if it's really from God, is it going to make me more like Jesus? Is that going to happen to me? So as I'm sharing this with this person at this camp, I noticed that they started getting upset at me. Almost to the point that's like, why did they invite you to speak at this camp? My vision was from God 2 minutes ago, and now you with the Bible and theology, blah. Freaks out. I was like, listen, like you came to tell me, and I have a feeling that some of this vision feels a little bit strange. This person went off and got angry. And I think for all of us, it's very important that what Cornelius does here is he's not sure whether this is from God. He's not sure. He's into religious things. And he's like, now he's going to have to invest some money. People who work for him are going to have to go all the way to Joppa, wherever Joppa is. It's about 45 minutes away from Caesarea, right? And they got to go get this guy called Peter, who's going to help him. And what we're told in this moment is Cornelius is going to tell everybody that he knows that he thinks God is speaking to him. It's so special, such a beautiful moment. When people realize that God wants to speak to them. Such a profound moment in life. When God says, I have something for you. See, because Cornelius is going to learn that it's not enough to just be a good person if you haven't experienced what it's like when God sets you free. It's not enough. He's going to learn that there's something that Peter knows about who God really is like that Cornelius doesn't know yet. But he's a good person and he wants to do the right things, but he doesn't have the full picture of what God is like yet. And God says to him through this angel, send for these men. So does that make sense so far? Everybody get Cornelius? You need to nod. If you're somebody next to you who's asleep, go like this. They're going to be like this. All right, I got it. Ferris Bueller's Day Off style. Okay, some of you got that, some of you don't know. Okay, so now I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, pause. Okay, like more than one of you has to say it. Facebook Live, just say pause so I don't cry. Just turn to the person next to you and say, pause. Pause. I'm going to pause this story because at the same time that this is happening with Cornelius and these men are gone, another story starts to happen. And if you're watching this as a movie, it's like two storylines start to move at the same time. So you have to stay with the story or you're going to get lost. So I'm going to pause Cornelius and I'm going to tell you about another person in the story who's going to have a vision too. His name is Peter. Because Peter is the leader at the church who the men that Cornelius sent have to go find. They're going to go see him, and Peter is going to be invited to come over. And Peter's going to have a problem. Peter's going to have a big problem, just like me and you, because he's getting an invitation from somebody he should not go over to. And you might not feel this. You're like, why wouldn't Peter go? So let me explain this, and if you're taking notes and you care about understanding the Bible better in a deeper way, that Cornelius is called a Gentile in the Bible. He's not a Jewish person. To be a non-Jew is to be a Gentile, okay? You could be a God-fearer, you could be a good Gentile, but you weren't Jewish. You know what I mean? Just think of your culture and know people in your culture who think that they're the best. Think of that idea, even though they're wrong. And then it's like, we're not like them. Like, they're nice. Yeah, I could sit with them at the wedding, but we're better. We're better than them. Okay, so that's the feeling. The Jews felt like in some way they had a special calling, and they did, by the way, to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. And that God had a unique place for them in his plan of the world. And now, Peter is going to have to learn what it means to reach over, to go over to someone's house that's not a Jewish person. This would have been like mind-blowing. So Peter's not ready for this at all. We're told that Peter's at home and he's resting. If you read chapter 9 of Acts, you can read it. It's amazing. Peter's like leading the church. He's raising people from the dead. That's how popular Peter is. Like, he has some serious, supernatural, Holy Spirit power. Like, I've never seen anybody raise somebody from the dead, but Peter's doing it. But God still has to correct something in his thinking. We never get this in the Bible. We think, oh, people who do supernatural things, they can't make mistakes. Oh, God's speaking to them. Peter just finished raising somebody from the dead. And now God has to speak to him, and God has to speak to him in a vision. Now, I didn't want to read the whole vision, so I have a picture. For those of you who are visual learners, see the picture? This is the vision that Peter kind of gets. How many visual learners in the room? You're welcome. I thought of you. Okay? He has this vision of like, as he's sleeping, it's like he sees these animals being dropped down in like a blanket, and he's not sure what this means, besides it meaning that God's not a vegetarian. I'm kidding. Okay. Kidding. Some of you are. This is what happens. Some of you are going to be mad. I'm going to get emails. It's okay. I'm going to hug you. I'm just going to hug you. I have nothing else. That's what it says. He heard this voice. He saw this, and then he heard this voice. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill, and eat. Surely not, Lord. No, no, no. And then Peter replied, "This I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And this happened three times. Three times in this vision, Peter's like, what could this mean? Is God really speaking to me? So I want you to feel the tension of this. Cornelius has a vision, responds properly. Peter has a vision. He's going to have a little bit of a discussion with God. Who's the religious leader? Peter. Who's the one full of the Spirit? Peter. Peter's like, I'm not sure. Like, this goes against everything that I've learned. Like, you want me to eat food that I've learned as part of our Jewish tradition is unclean. And not only that, to associate with people who eat this food is something that I can't do. Like, it's God wouldn't ask me to do this. And what's going to happen? Peter's going to wrestle with this in his heart. And he's going to try to think about, what is God trying to teach me? You know what God's trying to teach Peter? Something that he teaches us every day. God is trying to teach Peter how to see others the way he sees them. Every day, God is teaching me and you to see others the way he sees them. Now, I know how I usually see people. I see people through the lens of whether they can help me. I see the lens of whether they've hurt me. I see them through the lens of whether they're like, you know, the people I might get along. I see them that way. And if those criteria are not met, you know what? I don't really get along. I'm not having anyone over who I don't think is going to help me. And Peter's trying to figure this out. He's like, what could this mean? And we're told that as soon as he kind of wakes up, he hears some noise. He hears some people that are about to come and speak to him. And this is what we're told next in the story. The next day, Peter will go with them. And they arrived in Caesarea the following day. Peter goes with these men. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Isn't this great? Cornelius is like, hey, we're having a party. This guy, I don't know. Peter, he's here. It's going to be great. Okay? As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. So he doesn't know. Like, is this a spiritual teacher? Do we worship him? What do we do? But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up. I'm a human being just like you. So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. I mean, you have this moment in the story where a divide that's been separating, like a big wall that's been separating people and cultures in a few verses has just slowly come down. Can you imagine how hard it would have been for Peter to walk towards Cornelius' house? Can you imagine the smells that he would start to smell of the food that they're cooking at Cornelius' house that remind him of, like, so disgusting when I smell that smell? You have a smell? You have a disgusting smell? Any of you? You have that smell, you smell it, you're like, what is this? Who lives here? What's going on? Think about in the Bible. They hear people talking in a language. It's like, what are those people? Like, I can't stand them. And Peter has heard from God. And Peter now is there. And he walks into Cornelius' house. And I'm just like, okay, it's just one of them. Cornelius is like, hi, I'm the owner here. And I got to introduce you to my friends. I have an aunt. She's a little bit crazy. I have an uncle. He's already drunk. I have a few people here. It's going to be great. And Peter's like, what's going on? If anybody of the Jewish people that know me see me, I'm doomed. Peter has to be willing for God to teach him to see others the way he sees them. Peter becomes the great symbol for us of the kinds of leaders that God shapes in his church. Peter becomes this symbol. Not only is he a leader, superpower leader in the church, who's going to die as a martyr, by the way. No matter how great you were, the Romans killed people they didn't like. But he models for us what it's like to step beyond the rules that we've been told our whole life. And somebody says, come over. God says, Peter, you should go over. You should go over. It's going to be great. Peter's like, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. A vision. People come to him. Peter's clear that God is orchestrating something that's going to change his life. God's changing everything. And Peter now has to sacrifice probably 2 days, a day and a half at least, of going to Cornelius' house. This Gentile, this God-fearer, this person who we're not sure really much about him except he's hungry to hear from God. Now let me tell you, if you're a pastor, one of the things that you love to read about in the Bible is when people preach and everybody says yes. when people preach and everybody comes to the front. People preach and everybody responds. It's like, yeah. And oftentimes we have those moments in the Bible, but we don't know what all the preaching was about. And I think God protects us from that so that we don't package it and try to sell it. But in this moment, Peter realizes that everybody's ready to listen to him. So he begins to preach. What would you say in that moment? If somebody asked you, what is Christianity? You Christian? You Christian? Yeah, I go to this church. It's pretty cool. What's Christianity really about? Now, before this morning, when you got here, you would have said, just be a good person. Help the poor. Just be good. Cornelius has done that already. Peter is going to tell everyone in that house now, talking, yelling, sit down, kids bang on the wall, whatever. What's Peter going to say to them? What is it? You know, we have a generation, by the way, of young people who have no idea what Christianity is really about. You know why? Because the generation who came before them could never tell them. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest. That we have people who are just wondering, like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And, well, I don't know, just do what I say, because in the Bible it says honor your parents. By the way, it does say that. Or just go to church, because or else it's gonna be bad. People are gonna ask me questions why your kids weren't in church. Or just give money to the church. That's it. We've never really wrestled with, what do you say to somebody who says, hey, I do some good things. I help at the food shelter. I try to pray. I'm not sure. But are you a Christian? Like, you follow Jesus? Like, what does it mean to be a Christian? What would you say? Because Peter, in this moment, is going to tell them about what it means to belong to the family of which Jesus is the head. Who Cornelius doesn't know about yet is the person called Jesus. Because Jesus changes everything. Jesus did not come to die for us to help us just do good things. Because people were already doing good things. So did he just waste his life? I'm like, Jesus, what a waste. People are already being nice and praying to some God. You came to die like for fun? No, he came to tell us what God is really like. Jesus said it would be unacceptable for people who are seeking to find meaning and purpose and hope not to know what the Father is really like. Never again will people wonder about, I hope I prayed to the right God. I hope I did the right things. I hope giving to people was good enough for good to come back to me. I hope. Jesus is like, no. That will never happen again. From now on, Peter says, there's one who came and his name was Jesus. He came not just as just a religious teacher, although he was that. He came and he did things that reminded us that God was coming near to us. That when we were looking for somehow to reach out to God, to find meaning and purpose somehow, that God came and found us. That's what he does. To be a Christian is to believe that when we let God enter our world and he finds us and he calls us by name, he sets us free. That's what happens. And Cornelius is like listening to this and his family is like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. We never even heard of this guy. Peter's like, I know. That's why the vision and I had to come here with these smells and the music, tone it down, drummer boy, whatever. Peter's like in this house and he's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm so going to hell. He's pushing beyond. Why? Because somebody said, would you come over? Just come over. You know, there's people in your life that will need you to go over to their house. There's people that you work with that need you to go over to where they are. Because every time we step out of our comfort zone to go where people are who are not sure what God is saying to them, we model what Jesus did for us. We step out and we go. And when they ask us about what's going on, we say, hey, Jesus reminds us that the Father is coming to us. That God somehow is aware of our lives. He's aware of our brokenness. He's aware of the pain. And you know what? God is the one who's there with Cornelius before Peter ever shows up. Right? Like God's already stirring in Cornelius' heart through a vision that something's about to change, bro. Your life is about to change forever. Cornelius will never do a good thing with the same perspective again. He'll probably do good things. He'll continue to do them. But he understands this is different. This is not just about being a good person or hoping I do good things and good. No, no. This is about Jesus saying, are you ready to surrender everything to me? Are you ready for me to set you free? Are you ready? And this is what we're told for Cornelius. It changes his life. I mean, I read this passage, I always want to cry. Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news of the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Peter's like, I thought we were special. The Jewish people were special. I thought this was about us, and it was in some way. But now God is doing something I never thought he would do. God is reaching people that I never thought he would reach. God is reaching people that I've learned my whole life to hate. God is reaching them too. God is speaking to them through visions. And he's stirring in their hearts this hunger for something more than just doing a good thing and being a good person. Although that's beautiful. We want to celebrate that. It wasn't enough. Jesus enters those moments and shows up and says, look now. Now you can become part of a family of people who together are going to change the world. Can you imagine, like for us, we take this for granted. Different cultures, different people, different food. We actually like love this in our culture today. I'm going to a Mexican restaurant. I'm going to eat Italian. I'm going to French food. You know, just think of all the places. We actually see it as a beautiful thing. And some people like food and don't. In the ancient world, it would have been like, there's rules. You can't really go there. Those people don't really know God. They don't not the right religion. And sometimes we can forget what's happening in this story. That the great picture of what it means to be the family of God in the Bible is when rich people and poor people worship together. When Jews and Gentiles worship together. When smart people and struggling people worship together. When women and men of different cultures worship together. When kids and adults worship together. There is no community in the world that does this. Jesus heals people so that they can be that family. If we commit today to practicing this, everybody will be like, this makes no sense. Like there's rich people here and poor people here and happy people here and sad people here. What's going on? Jesus is the center of all of it. Like the only image that comes to mind as I was preparing is like, think of a magnet and Jesus being at the center and he's pulling everyone to himself. He's like this magnetic pull that he's like, the closer you get to me, the closer you get to others. The closer you get to me, the closer you get to others. You know why this is so hard for us to understand? Because we believe the lie that we can just have Jesus on our own. I'm just going to go home and I'm going to read my Bible. I'll go to Starbucks, podcast. I'll do a podcast. Really? Which part of the Bible are you going to read? Because the parts that say Jesus draws us closer to come over, to break the barrier, you got to cut those out with scissors. Bring scissors to Starbucks. This, oh, that's hard. That, give generously. Cut that out. We don't need that part. Cut this piece out. Cut them all out. We have a generation of people that have found a way to cut out all the parts of the Bible that require them to go over the line and say, this is not about you. This story is not about just you. Peter. God says to him, it's time to go over. Go over. Cornelius said, come over. Come on, party. It's going to be great. It's the last part. It says this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. It goes on and says this. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized, of them being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. I'm like, Peter, a few more days, guys. I'm out of here before I get in trouble. No, no, stay. Sleep over. We have a sleeping bag for you. A few more days. It's going to be great. Teach us some more. This Jesus guy. Tell us more. At some point, Peter would have said, hey, you guys understand that Jesus loves you? Do you understand that this hunger that you have, do you understand that this desire to serve and to help and to love others and this God you're looking for, his name is Jesus, by the way. Do you understand that he loves you? They're like, yeah, we get it. What do we do? It's time to get baptized. It's time to get baptized now. I'm sure it would have been like, whoa, come back next week, 2 weeks when I feel like I know what to say, and then I'll do it. No. He's like, you ready? Baptism, from the beginning of the church, was this great public announcement of what God was doing inside someone's heart. The same way a marriage is a public announcement of the love that two people have for each other, right? Like when two people fall in love, what do? They just want to tell people. Pictures of the ring, oh my goodness, hashtag blessed, whatever, stupidities. Don't email me, I'm going to get mad. Okay, so it's very hard. If you meet your friend that you're close with and they got engaged and married and they didn't tell you, you're going to lose it. You would lose your mind. You're like, unfriend, can you believe it? Can you believe it? They didn't tell me about the love inside. They didn't tell me. Peter's like, you understand that in Christianity, the minute you're awoken by God's love, the minute you feel, you understand that God was coming to you before you could ever go to Him, and you hear Him say, I'm about to set you free, you're like, oh my gosh, my life has changed forever. And you say, yes. And somebody says, you should be baptized. You're like, of course, sign me up. Where? I don't even have to sign up. Where's the water? We let you sign up. It's complicated, but we let you do a sign up. Some of you need to get baptized. Some of you have done good things. You've tried to pray. You love God and spirituality, and it's all good. It's all good stuff. I think people are like, oh, spirituality. It's not. It's always a reminder that God is calling you to something deeper, because it's not enough. And this morning, for the first time, you've heard maybe Jesus say to you, I've been paying attention, and I've seen what you've done. And I want you to understand that Jesus, my son, came to die and resurrected from the grave to remind you that I can set you free now. And I can change everything in your life. Everything. You get that and you're like, I must get baptized. I must. I'm nervous. I'm not sure. But you feel like this movement of God saying, this is the next step for me. If that's you, don't ignore that. Don't ignore that prompting. You can come see me. You can go online and sign up. You can email, whatever. We want to help you take those steps and move towards just this public announcement. You know why we do it publicly, by the way? To remind others that we're going to need their help to follow Jesus. Because Christianity is not a solo event. You don't just go about it when you want on your own terms. I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to encourage some of you who are not like Cornelius, but you're like Peter. Maybe you're like Peter and you found a way to make your faith about all the rules that you like, all the things that all make sense in your life. The people who are like this, the people like that, the people like that. And God is saying to you, it's time for you now to understand that I want to help you see people the way I see them. I want to help you understand that I'm giving you a new perspective on people that you think are so far off. Some of those people that are far off are your own kids. Some of the people who are far off are people that you love and care about. You're like, they'll never connect. They're like the Gentiles. They're a disaster. I'm not going there. And Jesus is saying to you, if they invite you, you go over. If there's an opportunity, you go over. If there's a chance to say, I'm sorry, you connect. If there's a chance to say, forgive me, you connect with them. Because when that happens, Jesus begins to do something special there. Are you like Cornelius this morning? Or are you like Peter this morning? God gave visions to both of the fact that he was doing something way beyond what they could even understand. This week, God is doing something way beyond we can understand in our lives. So I'm going to have you stand and I'm going to pray for us. After I pray, I'm just going to head out there and be at the ministry partner's corner. But can I remind you a very simple thing? That in this story, we're reminded of something that never escapes me. That God always goes before us. Always. In the resurrection, in the Bible, when the women come to the tomb, Jesus is already gone. It's like, where is he? Like, He's already starting. I'm already changing the world. You're too late. With Cornelius, I mean, he's already ahead of them. Just go, you'll see. I'm already preparing things. Can you believe this week that God is already going before you? God's already going ahead of you to prepare moments where you have to go over. Or somebody will say, hey, come over. Or a wall that was built up of unforgiveness and pain, and God says, this has to end. For some of you, God's saying, you know what, all the good things you've done and the way you've cared, I've seen all of it. But let me set you free now. Let Jesus be the king now of everything. Let's pray. Jesus, we would not be here if it wasn't for your power and the Spirit's strength in our lives. All of us remember, especially for those of us who maybe have been following you longer, we remember what it was like to take that first step, to hear you say to us, it's time to be baptized now. It's time to say yes to everything that I have for you. So I pray for anyone in this room, maybe somebody watching online, that you speak so clearly to them and that you would give them the courage to respond like Cornelius, to respond and be baptized, and to welcome this new power in their lives. And for some of us who are like Peter, we know the Bible answers, we maybe know the stories, but we need you to help us to see in a new way. We need you to transform how we see others. We need you to heal some of the narratives that have been given to us by our culture. We need you to teach us what it means to cross over the walls that maybe are built in our lives. Would you set us free again? Thank you for what you're going to do, because you are already going before us. As we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.